Hello and welcome back to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Priva, and my friend MJ.
Yo.
So this episode's a little bit late due to me and MJ were both briefly feeling a bit ill. We're fine now. And I'm also just going to announce that we are going to take a break after this episode until the new year, at least. Don't have an exact date for that. We'll be back sometime in January, probably.
Yeah.
Myself and MJ have both been extremely, extremely busy.
Everything is great. a lot of fun opportunities coming up. A lot of fun gigs. The Hysteria Collective, the comedy collective I am part of, is in full swing. My Night, the Nerd Herd, is on every second Sunday. That's if you are in Dublin. We're in Chennai. Different comedy gigs, queer comedy, alternative comedy. It's just fun shit. We're there every Friday and Sunday. Also some exciting things about a show that I'm doing. So yeah, I can't talk about that yet.
Yeah, I got to go to one of the gigs a couple of weeks ago. It was really fun. It was also the first time I have seen MJ in person since we started recording this fucking podcast.
Nearly two years. We were in a place together.
Oh, it's fucking ridiculous.
Why did you come down? You went to see Aluminium Tim's Laughter Refinery.
Yes.
Which is the alt comedy night. Yes. Yeah, that's Matthew Tallon and Kian Jordan, who you should also give a follow because they're awesome. But yeah, no, it was fun, and it was nice to be in a place with a person, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's a real novelty.
Yeah,
traveling all the way to scenic Dublin.
Yeah, I should go down to Cork sometime. Anyway. Yeah, break is needed. Break is good. Don't at us. Most shows take breaks. I've been informed with various degrees of severity by multiple friends, family members, and professionals in my life that it is normal for people to take breaks from things. So
sounds suspicious.
We will be. Yeah, I know. Right? It didn't sound right to me either. But we will be back in the new year.
Okay. So while we're here, we are on chapter 46, and I don't normally read the chapter titles, but I think I do want to read this one. So This one is called Heresy Flaunts Its Strength to Mock Orthodoxy. Mind Monkey in Epiphany Slays the Deviants.
Wow.
So heretics are bad. Kill them.
Yeah.
Go orthodoxy.
Yay. Established order.
Anyway.
Ooh. Okay. Let's get to the killing, I guess.
Yeah. And there will be killing, and there will be in this chapter some fairly gruesome deaths, including like decapitation and gutting. And such unpleasant things.
Yay, violence.
We love violence.
Deck the halls with mythological intestines. Oh, no.
That's
just hang them like tinsel. that's probably all sorts of offensive. I apologize. I don't know which part I should apologize for.
let's just carry on.
All of it. I apologize for all of it. Let's move on.
Okay. So when we last left off, in case you've forgotten, we are in the Cartslow Kingdom, which has basically been indirectly ruled by three Taoist immortals that have gotten in with the king and basically taken over, and all of the Buddhist monks in the kingdom were enslaved and generally having a bad time. And
yeah, some concentration camps type situ.
But Sun Wukong is after impressing the king by summoning rain and making dragons appear in the sky. And he is after pardoning the pilgrims, and he is just about to stamp their passport when the three Taoists complain. They're not happy about this at all. They think that just because Sun Wukong was able to do a few magic tricks, they shouldn't just leave him off for, you know, the murders, which is fair, to be honest.
It wasn't even magic. He just bullied and blackmailed people.
Well, he bullied and blackmailed gods.
Yeah, which is impressive, but it's really, well, it's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't it?
So they asked the king to let them challenge the Buddhists to another contest, to see who's better. And for some reason, if the pilgrims lose this contest, they'll like be executed. It just go with it.
We're rolling with it.
But so the contest, you know, Sun Wukong is not going to really be afraid of any challenge. But the contest that they ask the king to judge is a contest of who can sit perfectly in perfect, still, silent meditation for the longest.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to go well for Wukong.
Yeah, Wukong hears this and he just goes dead silent. This is the one thing.
The one thing he cannot do.
Entire fucking world he's incapable of doing is sitting still.
Literally move mountains, but ask him to chill, and it's not gonna work. Oh dear.
Yeah, Baji asks him why he's gone quiet, and he says, I'm quite capable of performing such difficult feats as kicking down the sky or overturning wells, stirring up oceans or upending rivers, carrying mountains or chasing the moon and altering the course of the stars and planets. I'm not afraid, in fact, of even having my head split open or cut off, of having my stomach ripped apart and my heart gouged out, or of any such strange manipulations. But if you ask me to sit still and meditate, I lose the contest before I begin. Where could I, tell me, acquire the nature to sit still? Even if you were to chain me up in an iron pillar, I would still try to climb up and down. I can never manage to sit still. I think everyone knew this already.
Yeah, this is pretty obvious. Wukong, it's not your... There are things, yeah, it's not his strong suit. I know some people like this.
He has also, in his like pride, completely forgotten that there are other people here who can do things. Trippitaka just blurts out to him, "I can."
Well, yeah, actually, he's a monk.
The actual
he's a freaking monk. He's the monk / chosen one. He can.
Yeah,
he can do it.
He claims that when he was young, he managed to sit still in meditation for like at least 2 years.
Wow,
which is. Impressive.
It sort of feels like they're going to be there for a long time, though.
So, in the courtyard, there are two giant altars erected by stacking 150 tables on top of each other. And the contestants are apparently only allowed to reach the top using a cloud. No ladders or climbing or using your hands. And the tiger strength immortal is able to do this. He jumps up and a cloud forms under his feet and it carries him to the top. Trippitaka can't do that, obviously. But Wukong leaves a clone behind in his place and he transforms into a cloud to carry Trippitaka up, despite him having repeatedly said before that he can't fly while carrying Trippitaka, but let's just ignore that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Hand waving.
So after dropping Trippitaka off, he turns into a mold cricket, flies down to Zhu Baji's ear, and makes sure to tell him to look after their master, but not to like talk or try to interact with the fake Wukong.
Right.
So after watching the meditation competition for some time, which I'm sure is fucking riveting, The Dear Strength Immortal decides to help his older brother out. So the Dear Strength Immortal plucks out one of his hairs from the back of his head, rolls it into a ball, and flicks it at Tripitaka, where, like similar to Wukong's powers, it changes into a bedbug and starts biting at Tripitaka.
Oh, no. You said insects. You didn't say bedbugs.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a particular aversion to bedbugs. Bad experiences.
I just... it's anything that eats you while you sleep. It's not good. I don't know. I had a spider who crawled into my bed and basically just ate my legs alive for an entire night, and it was very unpleasant. And I don't know if, because I'd evicted several of his kind from the bathtub if he saw me as some sort of tyrannical landlord or something. But yeah, nope.
He's trying to attain vengeance.
Yeah, it's fine.
So yeah, Tripitaka tries to ignore the biting for a while, but it starts to get painful. He can't move his hands because he'll lose the contest. So he tries to scratch like the back of his head against his collar. Wukong thinks that something's up and decides to go and inspect it. So he flies up. He's still a cricket. He flies up to Tripitaka, finds the bed bug, pulls it off, and gives Tripitaka a little scratch where it was biting.
Aww, you scratch my back.
And Wukong reckons Tripitaka's fucking bald. He shouldn't have any lice or bed bugs or anything like that. And he thinks the other side are cheating. And he decides to pay them back in kind. So he flies over to the Tiger Strength Immortal and he changes into a 7-inch long centipede.
Oh, God.
And drops himself directly on the Taoist's upper lip and bites him on the nose.
Oh.
So he falls over backwards off the altar. But some officials are able to rush over and pull him back up before he like falls to his death. Nice. Wukong changes back into a cloud to bring his victorious boss back to Earth. So
yay.
They've won. Pit King is about to let them go again when the Dear Strength Immortal says they only won because the Tiger Strength Immortal had a bit of a cold. And it was exasperated by the cold air up on the altar, and he wants to challenge them to another contest, which is guessing hidden objects.
Okay.
They're gonna get a bunch of Nancy Drew games on their iPad, and they're going to they have the king bring out a big fancy red lacquer chest. And he asked the queen to hide a treasure inside it so that no one except the queen knows what's in it.
Okay.
And then the deer, immortal, and Tripitaka both have to guess what's inside it. And Tripitaka asks Wukong, you know, how the hell am I meant to know this? But Wukong tells him to relax, he'll sort it out. He turns into a cricket, he crawls in under the chest, he finds a crack at the base, and he crawls inside, and he sees inside... there's some fancy clothes that the book call an empire blouse and a cosmic skirt.
Cosmic skirt just yes. Sounds really cool.
Yeah. I would wear a cosmic skirt.
Also, is nobody wondering where are these immortal people disappearing to suddenly and randomly out of thin air?
No, because he leaves behind a fake one.
Oh.
He leaves behind Wukong leaves behind a clone of himself.
Of course, I forgot he could do that.
So Wukong bites his tongue, spits blood on them, and he transformed them into just a raggedy old coat. And then whispers in Tripitaka's ear to guess that. And the deer immortal, I guesses correctly that it has the empire blouse and cosmic skirt. And when Tripitaka says it's just some old rags, The king literally just threatens to arrest him on the spot for implying the queen would even like own something like that.
There's a lot I'll put up with, but don't insult my lady's fashion sense.
Yeah. But he begs them to have a look at it first. And they're shocked when they realize it's actually what he said. And the queen says, the queen is like, "What I did put exactly what the deer strength in, so I don't know what's going on here." And the king decides to hide something himself in it, and ask them again. So he picks a huge non-magical peach from his orchard and puts it in the chest. It's not magic, I promise.
Okay, just don't eat the magic fruit. There's got to be some very important symbolism behind the peaches that we're not picking up on.
I think it was just like a delicacy,
I guess.
There could be more to it than that, but I figured it was just that was a delicacy, but maybe there's more to it. But yeah, Wukong crawls inside the chest again. He eats the peach, and he leaves behind the pit. And he tells Tripitaka just to guess that it's a peach pit. And this time it's the goat strength of mortal who gets to guess. And again, he says it's a peach, and Tripitaka says it's a pit, and he is proven correct again. And the king's a bit freaked out by this, because, you know, he knows what he put in there. And he thinks that the gods themselves must be helping the Buddhists, and he really wants to just let them go.
Yes.
But the tiger strength immortal demands one more go at it.
Oh, are you kidding me? Dude, just take the L and move on.
He thinks he knows what's going on. He's wrong, but he thinks that the Buddhists know some kind of like object removal magic that's kind of destroying what's in the box. But it won't work on living things. So what he does is he orders one of his Taoist disciples to climb into the box.
Oh no.
And then he goes up to guess what's in it, which is just blatantly cheating. So Wukong again, he climbs inside, and he finds that there is just like this like young Taoist hapless like novice inside.
Poor boy.
And I've been calling it like a chest in a box. I think it's actually very large because...
Well, you got to fit an entire novice inside, yeah. Yes.
Well, and Wukong, because once Wukong is inside, he shapeshifts into the form of one of the Taoists and tells the fella that he has new instructions. He has to pretend to be a Buddhist monk. So Wukong turns his iron rod into a razor, shaves your man's head, has him strip, and magically changes his clothes into Buddhist robes and tells him to put them back on.
This is not going to go well for this poor novice, is it?
So when they're asked to guess again, Tiger Strike Immortal guesses that it's what he... It's the fella that he put himself into the box. He says it's a Taoist in it. And Tripitaka says it's a Buddhist monk. And lo and behold, out comes your man, bald head in monk's robes, chanting Buddha's name. And also the king also saw the tiger strength immortal put your man in there.
And did nothing.
Yeah. So he's kind of like really worried about what's going on here, and he really just wants to let them go, but the Taoist insists on more fucking contests.
Come on, guy. Like, I know there's a lot at stake here. I know there is a very serious religious conflict, and letting these people go implies victory for Buddhism as a religion, and possibly the dominant one in the region. I get that, but
also they lose all their slaves.
Yeah, there's an economic concern here. But also, stop. Just stop. Just it's been three. It's been three contests now. You have lost all of them. Like stop asking for another one. Allege the cheating that is absolutely happening. Just
both
stop.
Sides are cheating horribly. It's just a contest of who is better at cheating, and Wukong will always win at that.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that life? Anyway, another contest.
Yeah, do you wanna guess what the next contest is going to be?
I'm gonna guess that it's the music round.
No, it is who is better at surviving getting their head chopped off? Wukong volunteers to go first.
Okay. All right. That's at least something he's good at. He may not be able to sit still for 5 fucking minutes, but he can certainly take a decapitation.
Yeah. So he's brought over to the execution grounds. He's tied up, pinned down, and the executioner lobs his head off and then kicks away for good measure. And he is actually decapitated. They actually do cut his head off. But he's fine. He doesn't bleed at all. And then suddenly a voice shouts out from his stomach, shouting for his head to come back. And the deer is very alarmed that Wukong is still alive. And he summons a local spirit and tells him to hold down Wukong's head so it can't return to his body. And he promises the spirit to convince the king to turn his shrine into a huge temple if he does this for him.
Right.
So when his head doesn't come back, Wukong grows a bit anxious.
As one would.
Rips his ropes off, shouts grow from his stomach, and immediately just grows a new head.
Wow.
He just does that.
Yeah.
Even Wu Jing and Ba Ji are shocked by this.
What the fuck? I kind of assumed that this was gonna happen. how long have you known this monkey? Of course.
Of course he could just regrow a head.
Yep.
Trippy Tack asks him if it hurt at all, and Wukong says, No, that was kind of fun actually. And he lets Baji feel around his neck to show off that there's not even any scars.
Okay, I guess it's Rush.
So the tiger strength immortal rolls up to have his head cut off next. And similar procedure. He gets put down on the execution block, his head is cut off, and then his body calls for his head to come back. But Wukong plays a similar trick to the one that was just done against him, and he pulls off one of his hairs and he transforms it into a hound, which runs up, grabs the head and just runs off with it. And the tiger immortal continues to shout for his head to come back, but he does not have the same fucking head regrowing powers that Wukong has. He can only survive for so long without his head, and eventually blood just suddenly gushes out of his neck and he falls over dead. And as he dies, he turns into a headless tiger. Did you guess this plot twist? Did you guess that the tiger strength immortal was in fact a tiger spirit?
I was wondering. It's not entirely a surprise, but is everyone else surprised by this?
The king is.
Oh.
One of his main advisors just turned into a fucking, just had his head cut off and turned into a fucking tiger.
Yeah, royalty has never been very bright.
The deer strength great immortal assures the king that his brother, the tiger strength great immortal, was definitely not a tiger. That's ridiculous. How would the tiger strength immortal be a tiger? Don't be silly. That monk just used magic to turn him into a tiger.
Of course. As those tricksy monks are wont to do.
And you said earlier to make to like stop with these challenges, it's just getting silly. This is the point where it goes from being like silly to like a death wish, because
Oh, God.
he wants to avenge his brother, so he challenges Wukong to a similar contest of who can survive having all of their organs ripped out better.
Oh, God.
So Wukong again
Okay.
is happy to take up the challenge. He
He's
says
into this.
he says he ate far too much steamed bread the other day, and he's been having a stomach ache.
Ooh, I want steamed bread now.
He's worried he might have parasites, and he wants to he could take an opportunity just to clean out his stomach manually, give it a good old scrub.
Okay.
And so he asks for his hands not to be tied up when they do this for this reason. So yeah, they cut open his abdomen, and then Wukong like just rips open his own belly, pulls out his intestines, and just like starts inspecting them, and then coils them back up again, puts them back where they were, and magically closes up his own wound. He just does that.
Yep, fair enough. That's correct. Who needs organs?
Yeah, not Wukong, evidently.
No, he's powered by pure chaos, I guess.
Powered by
Who needs
pure monkey.
lungs when you have pure chaos energy animating your every move?
Yeah, so the deer goes next. And when he has his stomach cut open, Wukong turns one of his hairs into a hawk, which swoops in, just rips out his guts, flies off with them, and kills him.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So the king is fairly concerned that another one of his officials is dead, and has just turned into a deer, because shockingly, the deer strength immortal
Was he a
was
deer?
a deer.
No.
So the goat strength immortal, showing absolutely no self-preservation instinct whatsoever, challenges Wukong into a contest of bathing in boiling oil.
Again, Wukong is just very into this.
Do you want to guess how this goes?
I'm gonna guess that there is some nice fried goat.
You may be surprised.
Oh.
So Wukong waffles a bit. He asks if it's going to be a civil bath or a military bath, and the king asks him what the fuck that does that mean, and he says a civil bath means he won't take off his clothes. He'll just jump in and out so quickly that his clothes won't even have a chance to get dirty, and a military bath means he'll strip off and climb into the tub and bathe as long as he likes, like you'd expect. I have no idea why it's called this. There might be a pun involved. There's no footnotes for it.
Probably. Mr. Yu, I am disappointed.
Anyway, the goat is worried that Wukong might have like treated his clothes to be oil resistant, so he wants him to do the latter. And he dives in. He just starts like bathing and like playing in the swimming around and playing in the oil and having a laugh.
Oh, God.
Baji comments, co like starts commenting to Wu Jing at this point that, wow, I really underestimated Wukong. Like, I knew he was strong. I knew he had all these magic powers, but I thought, like, a lot of the shit he was saying were just bants. I did not realize he could actually do this shit. He's
It's
just.
understandable. He is a very boastful creature, but he
Yeah,
does
this is
have
true.
reasons behind it.
He's also a bit suspicious, so he sees them whispering to each other, and he just assumes they're making fun of him. When they're just like shocked and really impressed, and he assumes they're making fun of him. He's just really sensitive about this for some reason.
Ego.
Yeah, he decides to pull a prank on them. So he dives to
Now,
the So yeah, he dives to the bottom of the cauldron and shapeshifts into just a small tack. So he just all but disappears into the water, or into the oil rather. And everyone thinks that he's after being melted. So this means obviously that all the Buddhists have to be arrested and executed now, despite having won like fucking 7 competitions in a row and just having arbitrarily lost this one. But Tripitaka asks to pay tribute to his fallen disciple, and he recites a poem in tribute to him. And I'm going to read this one.
Okay.
So he says, "Since taking precepts at the Grove of Chan, what love you showed me on our westward way, we hoped jointly to perfect the great Tao. How could I know you would perish this day? You lived for finding scriptures when alive. In death, your mind from Buddha must not stray. Your gallant soul afar shall not wait to rise, to thunderclap as ghost from Hades' dark sway." It's touching, okay. Touching tribute to his disciple.
Yeah, I take it the Hades is a translation.
Yeah, it's he uses Hades a few times throughout. Okay.
Touching tribute.
In the translation. So Baji has his own poem. You brazen disaster courting ape, you ignorant banhorse plague, you brazen death deserving ape, you deep fried banhorse plague, monkey is bumped off, horse plague's uprooted. So Wukong immediately turns back to normal to get climb out of the pot and start naked screaming at Baji.
Ooh. I mean, that's one way to do it.
So an officer runs off to tell the king that the ghost of the monk that just died in the oil has risen up, which pisses off Wukong even more. So he climbs out, dries himself off, puts back on his clothes, murders that guy, and screams words to the effect of, "Who's the ghost now, huh?"
Wow.
And then he just orders the king to get the last Taoist to go into the fucking cauldron.
Ooh.
He's not happy.
He doesn't like boiling oil, and that is fair.
He liked the boiling oil. He liked the bath. He just got really pissed off at Baji, like celebrating that he thought he just died.
Yeah. I mean, no, I feel like he was a bit nervous about the bath. I feel like this contributed to the situation, but yeah, Baji is just, yeah, generally an idiot.
But yeah, the ghost rector mortal gets into the oil, and he seems to be fine as well. He's not hurt by it. And Wukong decides to inspect the oil, and he realizes it's actually ice cold.
Ooh.
And he thinks that there must be a dragon offering the great immortals protection. So he recites a spell to summon back Aoshun, the Dragon King of the Northern Ocean, who only probably just got home.
Yeah!
He just let the dragons go at the end of the last chapter.
Very irritating.
Just having to be called back fucking again by Wukong.
By this prick.
And he says he's nothing to do with this. He's not helping them. He doesn't have anything to do with these Taoists, but he does know about them, and he knows the goat's strength immortal. And he finds that there is a cold dragon helping keep the oil cold and keeping the goat immortal safe. So Wukong has Aoshun arrest that dragon and take him away. And as soon as the cold dragon is gone, the ghost dragon immortal just starts boiling to death. He tries to escape the cauldron, but he just slips down the side of it, and his skin is boiled off, and he dies.
Is he a goat by chance?
So that is technically the end of chapter 46, but because we're going on a break, I'll just go ahead and just go to the end, to the start of chapter 47, just to tie up the loose end of the Part Slow Kingdom. So, plot twist. The goat strength immortal is not a goat. He was an antelope.
Oh, well there.
Yeah. There's no further point to that as far as I can tell. It's just, he was just an antelope. Nice. I don't know why he called himself goat strength instead.
I mean, antelopes are famous for running away, I guess, whereas goats will run towards you at speed.
You're saying he was trying to pick like a braver animal?
Yeah. I mean, goats are fucking nuts. Goats will chase you. I mean, if you're rural, you probably have some goat trauma.
I've never been chased by a goat because I was always well informed to stay away from them.
Yeah, and I did. I mean, well, sometimes you just don't know that the goat's going to be there when you're field drinking or whatever, and you know, you're taken by surprise, and then, you know, yeah. I mean, if you're running away from a goat, just you should be sober.
I feel like there's a story here.
There are several, but that this isn't about me anyway. Okay. I can see why he chose a goat.
So Wukong tells the king that the three Taoists were really just monster spirits and they were plotting against him. And in two or so years, they would have killed him and taken over the kingdom completely. And he asks, you know, he asked the king, why are you crying? You should be happy. Why are these tears? King is probably just fucking terrified out of his mind. Wukong is like, you should be happy. Yeah. I killed these guys for you horribly. So the king sends an official escort to bring them back to the Buddhist monastery where they were staying. And the next morning, he issues a pardon to all the Buddhist monks and holds a vegetarian banquet to thank the pilgrims. And all of the pardoned monks return to the city to give Wukong his hairs that he gave them for protection. And then Wukong imparts a final lesson to the king. These monks indeed were released by Old Monkey. The cart was smashed after Old Monkey moved it beyond the double passes and through the interlocking spinal ridge. And it was Monkey also who beat to death those two perverse Taoists. After such pestilence has been exterminated this day, you should realize that the true way belongs to the Gate of Chan. Hereafter, you should never believe foolishly in any doctrine that comes along. I hope you will honor the unity of the three religions, revere our monks, revere also the Taoists, and take care to nurture the talented. Your kingdom, I assure you, will be secure forever. Which is a strange lesson to give after three chapters of just fighting and killing evil Taoists, but all right.
I mean, I think the king is just going to take whatever from this guy at this point.
The king probably just wants 100%. Them to leave.
Just get out. Just go away. Just please, please leave.
I mean, there's that in story, but also it's clearly meant to be like the lesson for this chapter. Like just in part, you know, it's the moral of the story. Just, you know, you should treat all the religions fairly. I guess the evil is the fact is not just that they were Taoists, it's the fact that the Taoists were put in a position above but the Buddhists and in like literally enslaved them. But it's still very strange to just go through this whole thing of literally dumping like the Taoist the statues to the Taoist gods in the literal shit heap. Killing all these lads and everything, and it's like, actually, Taoists are your friends.
This is a message of love and tolerance.
Yeah. Also, as I pointed out, the name of the chapter was like literally heresy flaunts its strength to mock orthodoxy, mind monkey in epiphany slays the deviants. It's like kill the heretics. Also the other religions are good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, the king's gonna get rid of him.
What did we learn, MJ? What did we learn?
I'm not sure. Don't challenge an immortal monkey to any fights that involve doing yourself grievous body harm. That is the main lesson that I've
Yeah, that's a pretty good lesson. The other lesson is that you should go see Hysteria perform in Shane on Fridays and Sundays.
Yes.
If you're in Dublin.
You should. You absolutely should. Come to my night, which is the Nerd Herd, where I get comedians to talk about things that they really love. But also go to all the other nights, which are Token Straight, Aluminium Tins, Comedians Without Borders, but also Nerd Herd. So that's special to me. At Hysteria Ireland on Twitter and Insta.
Yeah, I'll link those two in the show notes.
Sweet.
All right. Cool. And we'll be back in the new year. Thank you for listening.
Bye.